All right, good evening, everyone. If you would stand with me, please, and turn your hymnal to 423, Joy to the World. We will sing the first and the last verses of Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature see. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Thank you for that singing. Brother Darrell Wright, would you open the service in prayer, please?
Amen. You may be seated, and we certainly welcome you to Berean Baptist Church, and we wish each of you a very Merry Christmas. Well, as for those that were here yesterday, or this morning rather, we were told, of course, that Pastor was not feeling well, and so certainly do pray for him. The fever broke. I spoke to him this evening, and he is doing better, but still pray for him, please. And then Brother Cook is also not feeling well, so he's out today. So I, being the third string, was asked to kind of MC things, run things. So it certainly is good to have each and every one of you here. I know I met several of the first-time visitors this morning, but if you're visiting for the first time here, we certainly would like to acknowledge you, your presence here in our services tonight. Is there anyone that's a first-time visitor here? Brittany, you have a first-time visitor, or are you just first-time this evening? Go ahead. Mrs. Grable, it's good to have you tonight. Very good to have you. One of the ushers will give you a welcome card, so make sure to fill that out. And when the offering comes by, we can put that in the plate there. Yes, Brother Hollins?
Yes, Brother Chase. Annette's here from AA training, testing, and she came tonight to us.
We know Annette very well, and it's good to have you here. I know it's we've been praying that we'd have a chance to see you sometime these last few months, but it's good to have you tonight. So welcome, welcome. You're not freezing tonight out watching cars back up safely. So good to have you tonight. Is there anyone else here? I do want to acknowledge, I know it's not her first time, but my mom comes out a couple of times a year. So she flew out from sunny Southern California, Irvine, California, to be with us for 2 weeks. So it's good to have my mother, Jerry Chase, here up until the new year. So praise the Lord for that. And I believe everyone else has been here before. So I'll give you just a couple of announcements. Do want to remind you. If you want to stop by the bookstore, we do have the new December Revival Fires. It's in the bookstore for $1.50. The November and December Christian Womanhood magazine is also in the bookstore for $3. So again, just to remind you about that. Also, I'm not sure if we had sold any from this morning, but certainly they make great Christmas gifts, and it's something that you can look at throughout the year. But the senior class is still has a few, I believe, of the 2015 God's Creation appointment calendars. They are $8, and you can see either Jessica Cook or Brittany Hollins at the Welcome Center today, tonight rather, if you would like one. And they do certainly make great gifts, so please do that. And then also, This is what we've been waiting for all year, as we will be about to present the Christmas Cantata, Christmas at Home, by Ron and Shelley Hamilton in just a few minutes, and so we're looking forward to that. Also, moms that would normally go to Moms and Tots at the school, there is no Moms and Tots this Tuesday, so note that as well. And we will not be running buses or having master clubs this Wednesday, December 24th, and next Wednesday, December 31st, and no 4- and 5-year-old class. So please note that as well in your schedule. And we do have some sign-up sheets. I know we'll just, if you are still interested, for time's sake, I'll just have you, if you want to still sign up for the nursing home on Christmas Day, you can go in the usher station. They'll have the sign-up sheets for that. But certainly it's a blessing for those that can make it to sing Christmas songs, just a time of fellowship, to be an encouragement. And so make sure to do that. If you haven't, you've been meaning to and you haven't filled it out, make sure to do that before you leave tonight. And then also lastly, there are deacon qualification sheets outside the auditorium on the table. When you leave, step right out on your left-hand side. There are some of the deacon qualification sheets. All nominations must be submitted to pastor or a deacon by December 28th. And so Dale Stewart's 3-year term expires this year. And then I know as a staff, we've been praying for Delight Smith's mom, but she went to be with the Lord, and it's Laura Smith, and so visitation is tomorrow at the Wagley Funeral Home from 11 to 1 o'clock, followed by the funeral at 1 o'clock p.m., so we be in prayer for Delight's family there. And then with that, I would ask the ushers to come forward for the offering, and we have a very special offering played for tonight to us by David Potter, so the ushers will come forward at this time. Once the offering is done, we'll start the cantata this evening. Brother Shaver, would you pray for the offering, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this season when we remember the greatest gift that we've ever given, your gift of eternal life in your Son. And we thank you for the offering. Thank you for it. Amen. Thank you.
shout Hosanna to the King and worship at His feet.
Little baby, go to sleep. Close your eyes and don't you cry. Gently rest your weary head listen to this simple lullaby. Never fear the shadows dim. Soon will come the morning light. Christ is watching over you. He was once a baby too. He will keep you through the night. God the Father sent His Son to a manger long ago. He was just a little babe, and His gentle mother loved Him so. Then one day He gave His life cross of Calvary. In the grave He did not stay. He arose on Easter Day. Now He lives for you and me.
Christmas had always been Elizabeth McLaws' special time of the year. Her tiny cabin, perched on a hill in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, was a world away from Bethlehem of Judea. And this year, 1848, was far removed from that first Christmas hundreds of years ago. But as she cuddled her firstborn son, born on Christmas Eve, she imagined she knew a little of how Mary must have felt. As she gazed into the flickering fire on the hearth, her thoughts drifted to her husband, who would never know his own son. He had been a fine, hard-working man. He had hopes of becoming a doctor, until the money ran out. Disappointed, he worked as a farmer until his patience ran out. Drinking brought a change in him. Elizabeth had often been the object of his anger as he returned home drunk. He must not have been able to stand the thought of another spring planting. She wasn't sure if it was the farm or her that reminded him of his failures. Whatever the cause, he was gone. He joined the army and went out west to fight the Indians. In the letter she had received, they said he had died as a brave soldier should. They said she would receive a little money from time to time, but that was months ago. Elizabeth thought she'd never know happiness again, till now. Again, she studied the little infant in her arms.
Emmanuel Christmas McLaw, that's your name. Who'd ever figure a little fellow like you would have such a big name? You're not the same as baby Jesus, but my God is going to be with you too. Maybe He sent some angels to sing for you. Shh, listen, can you hear them? Do you know what they're singing? Glory to God, glory to God.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest, glory to God. Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born, glory, glory, glory to God.
Listen to
Emmanuel Christmas McLaw. He became known simply as Manny. He went from being a little baby to a little boy to a little man in just a few years. He had to. He was the man of the house, and he was serious about his position. Wherever Manny was, there was music. He was always singing, humming, or whistling. Old Mr. Thomas up the road gave him a mouth organ. His little odd off-key concerts got better with hours of practice. The quiet, cold winter evenings heard many rich, sad melodies from the harmonica of Emmanuel Christmas. 1861 brought the dark clouds of war to Virginia. The call to defend the state from northern invaders was the only thing that could be talked about. A new company of Virginia volunteers was being formed. They set up camp less than 2 miles from the McLaw cabin during the summer of 1862. Manny would fly through his chores and run to Mr. McConey's farm to drink in the excitement of the endless drills and marches. Around the campfire at night, the mellow harmonica of Emmanuel McLaw made the men of the Virginia Volunteers dream of home and loved ones left behind. He became a favorite of the soldiers. It was Captain Claremont himself who suggested that Manny become the drummer boy. Emmanuel's mind burned with the excitement of marching with the army. The men liked him. He certainly could master the drum, and he could be a brave soldier like his father. But the thought of his mother, all alone, brought him back to reality. Would she understand why he had to go?
But you're all in the world I have left.
Mama, I'll only be gone a few weeks. General Jackson says nothing's gonna happen. The Federals are across the river waiting for winter. We're just supposed to watch until cold weather sets in.
You'd serve under General Jackson?
Yes, ma'am. He's a Christian, Mama, like you and me. He won't even fight on Sunday less than he's cornered. They say he lives by the New Testament and fights by the old. Some of the men say he even prays during the hottest battle with bullets flying all around him. General Jackson says he's just as safe on a battlefield as he is in his parlor, as long as God wants him on earth. Oh, please, Mama, let me go.
You remember, I lost your father when he joined the army. Why, them Injuns killed him before he ever knew I was expecting.
But, Mama, I heard tell that General Jackson never loses any men. Fact is, they say he usually gains a few from the other side.
Emmanuel, 14 years ago, I was all alone in this old world, and God sent me a very special Christmas gift. So I named that gift Emmanuel. Son, do you know what your name means?
Of course, Mama. You tell me all the time. Emmanuel means God with us. But, Mama, doesn't it mean God is with me just like he is with General Jackson? I'm as important as the general to Jesus, ain't I?
Emmanuel Christmas, you are a rascal.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you will be home for the birthdays?
The birthdays?
Yours and Jesus. You have to promise me you'll spend Christmas at home. You must be home for Christmas, son.
Mama, I'll spend Christmas at home. I promise. Don't worry. There ain't gonna be no fighting. Besides, I wouldn't miss Christmas at home for anything.
Oh.
But there was fighting. Serious fighting. Desperate fighting. It took place near the little town of Fredericksburg in Virginia. December came, winter should have halted the armies. Yet General Burnside sent his army of 150,000 over the Rappahannock River to face the well-entrenched Confederates. Ordered to support General Longstreet's corps, the small company of Virginia volunteers awaited the outcome of the fierce battle. Before the battle was ended, over 18,000 Americans, both blue and gray, became casualties on December 13th, 1862. Among them, a 13-year-old drummer boy from Berryville, Virginia. Emmanuel Christmas McLaw was running ammunition to the embattled defenders of the famous stone wall when a great black shell exploded only a few yards away. The grizzled soldiers had earlier been inspired by the young boy's bravery. They were soon shocked to see the mangled drummer boy grimacing in pain with death all around him. Darkness finally put an end to the fighting, but not the suffering. Manny was barely aware of the doctor, smelling of sweat, powder, and liquor, bending over him.
Boy, boy, can you hear me?
I can't beat the charge, sir. My drum is broken. I can't beat the charge.
Save your strength, boy. I'm gonna have to move you.
You're a doctor?
That's right. Now you hush.
Then it's over?
Yeah, it's over. It's over for a lot of men.
My leg, doctor. It hurts so bad. Can you make me better, doctor? I've got to spend Christmas at home. My mama said so.
Put your arms around my neck. I'm gonna have to move you.
No, sir.
Do as I say, boy.
He didn't even know why he bothered. It didn't look good for the boy. The mangled leg would have to be amputated, and even that would be little help against the gangrene he knew would set in before long. In anger, he cursed when he found there was no chloroform for anesthesia. A drink from his bottle braced him for the task ahead.
Son?
Doctor?
Boy, you're gonna lose this leg.
Now, doctor?
Yes, now. I've got no time to lose. There's no chloroform to help with the pain. You're gonna have to drink this. Go ahead, drink it.
No, doctor. My mama made me promise to never drink.
Your mama doesn't know war. Drink it!
I'll be all right without it, doctor.
This'll be a good bit worse than you can imagine.
My Lord will stand by me now.
Oh, religious, huh?
Jesus is my savior, if that's what you mean, doctor.
Boy, you believe anything you want to believe. Anything at all.
It's almost Christmas, sir. Do you know who was born on Christmas, doctor?
Well, I...
It was Jesus, sir. He's called Emmanuel in the Bible. It means God with us. Jesus is right here with us, doctor. He's going to help us both right now. I've been praying for you.
Pray for yourself, if you will, boy. I'm past your Lord's help.
Oh, no, sir, doctor.
No, get some... nurse, get some men to help with this boy.
God is with me, doctor. You won't need anyone to hold me. Please, doctor.
Maybe your God is with you. But he'd better be a good bit more powerful than I expect him to be.
15 minutes. It took 15 minutes as fast as the hardened doctor could work. 15 minutes that must have seemed like an eternity to the boy. Over and over, the boy prayed.
Oh, Emmanuel, God be with us. Emmanuel, God be with us. Oh, Emmanuel, God be with us.
No one knew the doctor, not really, except by reputation. It was said he had no heart. They said he had liquor for blood, but he shook uncontrollably as he finished this operation. Drenched with sweat, he hurried from the hospital tent, hurrying to his own tent, hurrying to the darkness, hurrying to his bottle. He tried to sleep amid the moans of the dying, but his mind was filled with the boy who wanted to spend Christmas at home. The boy's voice echoed in his brain.
Thank you.
Emmanuel Christmas McLaw, the Christmas boy, was not getting any better. The doctor felt helpless against his weakening condition. Special medicines were secured. They had little effect. The boy developed pneumonia. The embittered doctor resented the fact that he wished this boy to live. More than anything, he wished him to live. He found himself checking in repeatedly.
Doctor, is that you?
Yes, son. Don't try to talk now.
I have to, doctor. You see, I'm going home soon.
That's not possible, boy. You'll be here several months until you get stronger.
Heaven will be my Christmas home, doctor.
Nonsense, boy. You're going to be fine.
No, doctor. The Lord will have me come home to heaven for Christmas. You don't know him, do you, doctor?
Who? You mean your Lord?
Yes, sir. When you were operating on me, I asked Jesus to save your soul.
I told you it was too late for that.
No, sir.
You don't know what I've done, boy.
No, sir, but God does. That's why he came to earth, to be with us, to die for those sins. The Lord has told me I would see you in heaven.
Will you stop that foolish talk? Why are you crying, son?
My mama. She'll miss me. Will you give my Bible to her, doctor? It's here, under my pillow.
Lie back down now, boy.
I'm okay. Only, I can't breathe so good. What's that bright light, doctor?
What light, son?
There. No. No, it's not a light. Oh, doctor, it's Jesus. Don't you see him, doctor? They're singing for him. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming home.
Come. Oh, God. If you really are Emmanuel, will you give me what this boy had? I've rejected you for so long. I didn't even know you existed. But now, Lord, I believe. Yes, I believe. Oh, Lord, please forgive me and save my wicked soul.
The long road to Berryville, Virginia, gave the doctor plenty of time to think. He fingered the small Bible in his pocket to see if it was still there, to convince himself that the events of the past few days were real. For the 100th time, he read the inscription, "To Emmanuel C. McLaw, from Elizabeth Frederick McLaw." Even as the wagon jostled over the frozen Virginia roads, he thought of his wife and of home. He prayed his letter would reach her before he arrived.
My dearest Elizabeth, I hardly know where to begin. I guess I should start by confessing that the letter you received 14 years ago was forged. No, I wasn't killed in battle. I just wanted you to be free from the likes of me. I've always loved you. I'm sure by now you've heard about Manny. You'd have been proud, Elizabeth. Hundreds of men have died in my care, but Manny was different. During the worst of his suffering, he was more concerned about me than about himself. Even when he was dying, he was telling me about his Emmanuel. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm so sorry. If you can find it in your heart to forgive, I'd like to spend Christmas at home. You see, now Manny's God is my God. I was shown the way home by my own son. All my love, Nathan Anderson McLaw.
Christmas at Home. This is one of my favorite cantatas, not just because it's a wonderful story, which it is, but I love how vividly it shows the contrast between the life of those who know Christ and those who do not know the Savior. We see in the lives of Elizabeth and Emmanuel McLaw the life of those who know the Lord and are walking with him. We look at Elizabeth McLaw, the year's 1848. She's a young mother. Her husband left her. She had to raise her son alone. She had every reason to fear, every reason to get bitter. But instead, she trusted God to take care of her and her son. What was the secret of Elizabeth's contentment, her happiness, her joy? It was the presence of Christ in her life. God with us. She knew that God was always with her and instilled this belief in her son, even to the extent that she named him Emmanuel, which means God with us. She possessed that certain peace that comes only from knowing the Lord and having a right relationship with him, for he is the Prince of Peace. The kind of peace I'm talking about here is the peace that we find in Philippians 4:7, which says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The believer's peace comes from knowing him who is peace. In contrast to the characters of Elizabeth and Manny, we find in the life of the doctor, Nathan McLaw, everything but peace. Oh yes, there are those who don't know the Lord who claim that they have peace, but the peace that they claim to have is not built on a solid foundation. The world's peace comes from things that can change at any given moment. They obtain peace from pleasant circumstances or their money in the bank. Or as in the case of Nathan McLaw, they find peace in a bottle of liquor. But my friend, you never will have true peace in this life or in eternity unless you come to know personally the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until then, the Bible actually classifies you as an enemy of God. John 3:36 says, "And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So you may ask, how do I come to know the Lord as my Savior? Well, there are four things you must accept and believe in order to know the Savior. First, you must accept the fact that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Of course, we're all in that boat because we've all sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not only that, you must accept the fact that you are subject to eternal punishment because of your sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So you must realize that you're a sinner and that you deserve eternal punishment because of your sin. But the Bible goes on, the next thing I'd like to say is that the third thing you have to do is accept the fact that Jesus Christ suffered this punishment for you, paying in full the debt of your sin when he died on the cross, when he was buried and rose from the grave. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So, you're a sinner, but thankfully there's a Savior. "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And lastly, in order to know the Lord as your Savior, you must call out to him, call out to God, asking him for the forgiveness that he has provided in Christ. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'd like us all to bow our heads, close our eyes. And I ask you tonight, where do you fit in all of this? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you died tonight, are you sure that you would have a home in heaven? If you're not sure, then why don't you get that settled tonight? Just call out to God right now and say something like this to God. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, deserving of eternal punishment, but I know that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to be buried, and to rise from the grave. I realize that by doing this, he paid the debt of my sin. I ask you to please save me, forgive my sin, and give me a home in heaven when I die. Thank you for saving my soul. Now, if you just did that, with no one looking around, you just did that, would you let me know by raising your hand? All right. I trust that everyone here, you may raise your eyes. And I trust here that everyone's saved then. Maybe you're here tonight, you are saved, but you've gotten away from the Lord. Maybe you no longer have that peace that comes from a close walk with the Lord. If this is you, why not come to the altar tonight and get things right with the Lord? The choir is going to, I believe, going to sing an invitation hymn, and Brother Chase, you can do.
We all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. And maybe it's individually, maybe it's corporately as a family. Maybe just come forward. Use this altar right now as a place where you just get things right with the Lord. Through these last 12